Hello to all you people on the go and you multitaskers. This is Homeschool Mom Movie Maven, and this review is on Gosnell. The short take is, Gosnell is a documentary-style biopic about Kermit Gosnell, an abortionist who violated even Pennsylvania's liberally permissive abortion laws and the people who brought him to justice. Who should go? Adults only. For the topics and many of the visuals of the abortion mill, but for those adults who seek truth and justice, it's a must-see. In the movie Jacob's Ladder, Tim Robbins plays a military veteran suffering from such extreme PTSD that he has visions of hell. One of those manifestations is of a hospital of filth and gore, staffed by demons indifferent to his suffering. While watching that 1990s surreal film, I never dreamed I would one day see the real-life footage of the actual place. But footage of a real place, just like Jacob's visions, were included in Gosnell, the movie about the exposure and trial of Kermit Gosnell, the perpetrator of the cold-blooded killings-for-hire of full-term infants and the casual death of one of his quote-unquote patients, who was, to quote Bernard Hughes's character in the dark satire The Hospital, neglected to death. Kermit Gosnell is portrayed by Earl Billings, a familiar face from many TV shows all the way back to the 1970s. The film Gosnell tracks the investigative and legal activities that stopped Gosnell's Eichmann-like casual killing business. The movie Operation Finale was about the exposure and capture and trial of another notorious serial killer, the Nazi Adolf Eichmann. I review Operation Finale on my blog as well. If you see Operation Finale, you will note the similarities between Ben Kingsley's portrayal of Eichmann and Earl Billings' Gosnell. Both men had an affluent, family-oriented life. Both men were ambitious for money, power, and the pleasure it would bring them. Both the Nazi and the abortionist were indifferent to the catastrophic suffering they perpetrated upon the innocents. While Eichmann's personal obsessions wandered into the fastidious, Gosnell wandered onto the other end of the bell curve with profound levels of filth. While Eichmann behaves like Lady Macbeth, figuratively and sometimes literally trying to wash the guilty stains from his hands, Gosnell wallowed gleefully in the depravity, denying its existence. Both men swam in the blood of others to achieve their goals of career security in an environment and culture which protected their activities for years, regardless of the heinousness of the crimes they committed. The acting in both movies was amazing. Kingsley should have been up for awards for his portrayal as the cold, tunnel-vision author of the deaths of millions in Operation Finale. Eichmann wore blinders and chose to see himself as merely a clerk or cog in a machine convenient to his advancement. But it was no surprise that Billings, despite his equally subtle rendition, because of the politically protected nature of Gosnell's occupation as abortionist, was ignored for his cinemagic contribution. Billings plays a man who, in other surroundings, could have been mistaken for a genial, grandfatherly, old-fashioned doctor. It is only the subtle body language, quirks, facial tics, and tiny contradictory gestures which visualize Gosnell's fundamentally broken, corrupted, and rotted moral view. Were the director creating this monster out of the whole cloth, he might have been lauded for the extremely effective, visually poetic symmetry of the man's life. But in reality, Gosnell lived in a beautiful suburban home, in a biblical sense, the outside of the cup. But the house's rooms reflected Gosnell's inner corruption in the piles of trash, the chaotic disorder, Gosnell's personal hygiene, and the dead animal rotting in a cellar of aggressively flea-infested debris. Gosnell's clinic, while purportedly there to serve the poor, gave preference to white customers, regularly employed underage, untrained teenagers to administer dangerous levels of anesthesia, and housed garbage bags full of decomposing infant parts, casually discarded in hallways, up stairwells, and in so-called operating rooms. Likely the only reason this abattoir was not overrun with four-legged rats was because there was a plethora of irregularly cared-for cats who roamed at will using the entire clinic as their kitty box. Like the serial killer in Silence of the Lambs, Gosnell kept trophies in small jars of body parts. So insulated was Gosnell from the rest of the world, humanity, or his own culpability, that he did not understand he was actually displaying evidence against himself. None of this was manufactured by the filmmakers. The stomach-churning images were recreated, and in some cases simply copied directly onto the film from actual footage made by the investigating police officers. The officers were there initially to pursue probable cause of the death of one of Gosnell's victims. The police entered planning a drug bust. They left with evidence of a serial killer whose murders had been covered up for over two decades by a corrupt Pennsylvania Department of so-called health. The steaming environment of political correctness and the permissive Pennsylvania abortion laws helping to cover his crimes. Despite the heinousness of Gosnell's activities, the repeated complaints, the obvious incompetence, the flagrant disregard for even the most basic sanitation, much less safety of his patients, Gosnell was left alone to continue his habits for decades. It came up in Gosnell's trial that the health department of the state was, for at least 17 consecutive years, forbidden from pursuing even the most serious of complaints against him because of his status as a black abortionist in a poor neighborhood. But there was no protection for the unwary, vulnerable, scared, and defenseless inhabitants that served as Gosnell's prey. Gosnell had no respect for the mostly poor minority women who came to see him, nor the tenets of basic common sense medical sanitation, nor even the law which had closed its eyes to his behavior for so long. Given his protected status, it is perversely understandable why he legitimately believed he could get away, literally with murder, with impunity. He had admitted as much to his attorney when he laughed at his solicitor's concerns about his legal vulnerability. Gosnell said he was certain no one would question his personal determination of what constituted a human life, regardless of the law which forbade abortion past 24 weeks. He was certain that everyone would see it his way. The director, Nick Searcy, who also plays the defense counsel, Mike Cohen, creates a calm, even somewhat sterile atmosphere for the investigations in the courtroom. This makes for a relieving counterpoint to the video walkthroughs of the hellscape abortion so-called clinic, which views like an abandoned labyrinth of torture chambers. The supporting characters, from the initially reluctant assistant DA Lexi McGuire, played by Sarah Jane Morris, to the immediately invested and likable lead detective James Wood, played by Dean Cain, to the computer geek blogger Molly Mullaney, played by Sirian Fialo, all do wonderful jobs and solid performances. The screenwriters Andrew Clavin, Anne McElhaney, and Phyllis McAleer use composites of real people to round out the cast. But Billings, as I said, is a standout in the lead with his restrained but utterly creepy portrayal of a man who would fit in a horror movie about a grandfather who hands out razor-filled apples and cyanide-laced candy on Halloween night. Evidence showed Gosnell murdered 7 born-alive infants. He was convicted of 3 with an unknown tally of death on his belt over the previous 2 decades. Gosnell was convicted of 1 count of manslaughter in the death of a so-called patient, but who knows how many others died directly from his hands or indirectly from his gross negligence and malpractice. There was evidence of 21 late-term abortions, even illegal at that time in Pennsylvania, but who knows how many he committed. And he was convicted of hundreds out of the likely thousands of violations of the rules concerning 24-hour informed consent. In consent, which is itself but pathetically thin attempts at some common sense to this horrific practice. And all this doesn't even touch the thousands and thousands of babies in the womb he murdered for hire under the auspices of a legal abortion. While Gosnell was held to account for his crimes, he was in truth merely a symptom of the greater evil of the governmentally, not just allowed, but protected murder of millions of unborn children. While this is a difficult movie to watch, we must all stand like the Jews who survived the Holocaust and their descendants as witnesses to atrocities which should not be happening now, and once defeated must never happen again. It is our duty to testify against the laws and institutions which allow monsters like Gosnell to exist and thrive for those already lost and those yet at risk and to be born. So go see the movie Gosnell, then witness and speak out against the evils of abortion which Kermit Gosnell personified. If you're listening in your car or on an iPhone, you can get the full original review, including pictures and links, at Homeschool Mom Movie Maven. That's www.homeschoolmommoviemaven. Maven is spelled MAVIN.com. And take it from a homeschool mom. Education doesn't always have to come from a book. Sometimes it can come from a historically sobering movie.